Our guest today is Sam Amadon, a folk singer who takes traditional material and works them into his own extraordinary compositions. He was introduced to folk music and the fiddle by his parents, also musicians, during his childhood in Vermont. He's now based in London, where he lives with his wife, Beth Orton, and their son. On his new album, Bright Sunny South, that was released in May, Sam is inspired by a variety of American folk traditions, and I asked him to talk about the songs on the new album, which are very American, and what it is like to be in London, one step removed from the source material.
Yeah, the songs are American, but of course, any American folk songs, America's not that old, you know, comes originally from some bizarre combination of England and Africa. So the stories at least come from England. So it's interesting to be back there, and, you know, some of the people know or older, you know, the English remnant versions and diverging narratives. And in one version, the girl dies, and the other, she gets away, whatever, you know.
Well, you have an interesting relationship with these songs to begin with. A lot of people I talk to, you know, grew up on whatever popular music they grew up on, and then at some point started delving into folk music or whatever. But for you, it was part of your family life.
Yeah, I mean, that what you just said was true of my parents. You know, they grew up on the Beatles when they were kids, but then when they did both discovered folk music in Cambridge's very rich, you know, folk revival scene in the 70s. And at that stage, you know, there's always a folk revival going constantly since the 1920s, as far as I can tell. It changes which version of folk music people are reviving at that instance. And in the 60s, it was maybe more the guitar strumming, you know, kind of Woody Guthrie thing. But by the time my parents came to it in the 70s, it was really more the more esoteric corners of community music making, you know, folk dancing, sacred harp singing, children's singing games in the Georgia Sea Islands, banjos, fiddles, accordions, no, very, very little acoustic guitar, you know, much more the kind of esoteric stuff. And that's what I heard growing up. So it was all the Irish tunes and fiddle music and all that kind of stuff. And they only had two non-folk records. We had Talking Heads Stop Making Sense and Synchronicity by the Police for some reason. I don't know how this got to our house, but they achieved.
Well, you make a good point about a lot of what they were into was the community aspect of it. So you grew up singing even as a kid with other people?
With them, yeah. And in many other contexts, just at folk festivals or friends around town. And, you know, many of my favorite, like my heroes, my favorite musicians happen to be people who lived, you know, within 30 minutes of the house. And they made a conscious decision, you know, to not tour, partially because they just didn't want to not have to tour all the time, but also because just to them, folk music was really more about playing music with people, you know, as opposed to in front of an audience.
Well, I want to talk about more about your journey, because it's obvious this is something you went away from and came back to, so that's always interesting. But this album seems to have material from all over. Is some of it drawn from back in the original things you were?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of plunder my parents' stash quite a lot. So and there's definitely a few on here that come from things that are pretty deep seated that I would have heard as a little kid.
Well, what do you want to start off with?
We'll do a song called Short Life, which I kind of adapted from another song called Short Life of Trouble. Life of trouble, a few more
Sam Amadon and Chris Vadalaro are playing live for us today, and that is a version of Short Life. I was thinking, I've got to ask him what kind of fiddle style he loves. And I'm realizing listening to this, and one of the things I really love, Sam, about your recordings, and particularly about some of the things on this record, is how much you incorporate jazz into old time music or vice versa. And like that fiddle, you know, that's like free jazz fiddle. I mean, and you studied with Leroy Jenkins.
I did. You know, it was interesting because when I first, like growing up, I was into Irish fiddle music. And one funny thing about what I do now is since I'm taking these songs and taking them outside of folk context and bringing them into like rock clubs and stuff, you know, people think of folk music as like one thing, but of course it's a million things. It just means people playing their own music.
Right.
So growing up in that world, like for me as somebody who liked Irish fiddle tunes, that was like a whole other thing from American fiddle tunes or English fiddle tunes or Scottish. And I, in fact, disliked all those other styles as a child. As a 10-year-old, I was like an obsessive Irish fiddle nerd. And to me, that was this extremely ornate style. And the old-timey style, the Appalachian style, just sounded kind of rough and scratchy. And
crude, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the way that I really got into old-time tunes and Appalachian music was really as a teenager through free jazz, because as a teenager I heard Albert Eiler and I heard some of this kind of 1960s screaming saxophone stuff, you know, John Coltrane, whatever, and I was like, man, this sounds just like that weird, you know, fiddle stuff that, you know, that we have on these field recordings, and I thought it was quite funny. I kind of thought they were both quite comical at first, and then I went from there to to deeply loving both genres of music. And But there was a real connection. And when I went to hear, it always frustrated me hearing violin in the jazz context and improvised context, because it always was classical players sounding very, very classical playing, you know, that music. And Leroy Jenkins, who I studied with, was no exception, but he was a great improviser. But I always really felt like there was nobody kind of exploring that link between the mountain fiddle style and that super raw, you know, thing and free jazz.
Have you found anybody at all?
The closest would be through more like, actually not free jazz, but more like minimalism. There's a guy named Tony Conrad, who's a minimalist, like a microtonal associated a long time ago with Lamont Young composer. And he has a real Appalachian fiddle play.
You often record in no exception on this album with your longtime friend Thomas Bartlett, who's also from Vermont, as you are. But to go out on the road, you've chosen to go out with Chris, who's a drummer, and it's an interesting decision.
Chris is my fellow expat in London, mm-hmm. and he actually has much more ancient Vermont roots than either Thomas or I. He's from Albany, New York, but I think his one strain of his family is ancient Northeast Kingdom style Vermont, whereas we're down in Brattleboro, which in the Northeast Kingdom, Brattleboro barely counts. So you know, for me, playing music with all these people, like in terms of this current thing of making these albums of folk songs, it's really more about, you know, musicians who I want to play with, and much less about, I've never thought, oh, I need a trumpet for this track. It was more like, you know, in the case of the album, it was like, oh, I want like a strange spirit from another era to come in. And it ended up being Kenny Wheeler on trumpet, you know. So Nico, who did arrangements on the last couple of records, Thomas, Chris, you know, they're just like, they're my friends, and they're the people who I share like a dialogue with about music.
Sam is here to play live for us today, and what are you and Chris going to do next?
We'll do an old song called As I Roved Out on a Cold Winter's Night. We'll be right back.
underfoot. Well, rise and boom again, but love, it is a killing thing. Did you ever feel such pain?
Well, yeah, as I roved out, that's a performance today from Sam Amadon and Chris Vadalero. Another one of the songs from Bright Sunny South. And really nice version. You know, Sam, you strike me, and I say this from reading a lot of things you've written about your music and your life, as somebody who's always kind of searching for things, I mean, and finding new things. And in the liner notes here, you mentioned a great movie, Two for the Road. I only know it because it's one of my wife's favorite,
oh, really?
Favorite
oh, yeah,
films.
So good.
And there's a, you know, book for us to read. Now, I assume you're in England because you fell in love and wanted to make a family, or did you come
That's
to England
true.
And meet Beth Horton there? Or
I met Beth at a dinner after a concert, Anthony the Johnson's concert, because Thomas plays piano with him. And it was one of the first times I went over to Europe to play, you know, just shows here and there. And we'd hung out, you know, as friends when I would be in town. And things progressed. And I was kind of just in an itinerant touring state, so I sort of found myself in London all of a sudden.
Are there a lot of things that you didn't know about the type of British music that she might be into that you're discovering through her?
Or, well, the thing or that she's probably that taught me the most about is, like, because she loves all the, like, classic soul music and Roberta Flack and Joni Mitchell, which I don't consider to be folk at all. It's more like just beautiful, strange songwriting composition. And, you know, that's the stuff that I probably learned about the most directly from Beth. But it is true that being in England, and this is through her as well, like, I've definitely come to more of an appreciation of a lot of that kind of psych folk English stuff from the 70s, which, again, I just wasn't to my taste growing up. It always just kind of sounded weak or something. But you know, since being in England, like John Martin, I've learned about Bert Jansch, who I met briefly with Beth before he passed away. And, you know, a lot of those, you know, amazing kind of super great guitar players and, discovering a lot of that stuff. And I think that definitely has informed, like, some of the guitar parts on this album.
Did that lead you to working with Jerry Boyce, who is the engineer on this?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when you're in a place, you start to notice little things about that place and being in London. And I liked the idea. Jerry Boyce is a, you know, super legendary engineer, and he recorded a lot of those things in the 70s, especially these Martin Carthy albums that are fantastic. And then more recently, he did the Ali Farka Touré, Toumani Diabete duo records, which are, and what I loved about those especially was with both of those albums is, like, they're so spare, you know, it's just like two instruments. But the way he recorded some of the things, it's like you don't need anything else. You know, you're so in the world of those acoustic, those, you know, so raw sounds. And so we brought Jerry in. And also to have somebody who, because since he's mostly done that world music stuff over the last 10 years, he's, you know, it's just with something kind of from an outside, you know, ears tone things.
Yeah, I think those Ali Farka Touré, Toumani Diabete records were recorded in a hotel.
Yeah, exactly. He had that kind of field record. I'm sort of, you know, fascinated, as a lot of people are, with a field recording thing. You know, that idea and of all that. It's one beautiful thing about all this folk music isn't just that it's folk music, but that you're hearing all this stuff recorded in people's houses and or wherever. You know, and that was he had that way of hearing.
Tell me about what is it? Shape note
singing, or yeah. Sacred Harp music also.
It's called. Yeah, tell me about it.
That's like a 200 or more now year old tradition of choral singing that originated in New England. And it was basically farmers and tavern keepers and just normal people who were bored with the music in church, but they weren't going to go sing, you know, drinking songs, because then they would be, like, you know, rejected from society. So they wrote these super bizarre and crazy and beautiful sounding four-part choral pieces without having any musical training. And what they did is, actually, they took melodies often from murder ballads and drinking songs and changed the words to Christian words. Wow. And then added harmonies. And it's a tradition that survives in the South and has been, you know, very popular across the country, plus, you know, it's done continuously.
And there's a number of things from that tradition on here.
There's a couple. Weeping Mary is from that tradition. And that's, this is something that, you know, one of the big things that my parents were into. It's not usually not a performing tradition. You sing it in a circle. I mean, in a square facing an empty circle. And it's very loud and robust and kind of intense and not something you would be pleasant to listen to for a long time, but very, very fun to sing. And my parents sang as they're on actually an Unsuch record singing with a group called Word of Mouth Chorus from the 70s.
Wow. So could you do one of those?
Yeah, we can do Weeping Mary.
That is Weeping Mary, another one from Bright Sunny South, the new album out on Nonesuch Records from our guest today, Sam Amadon. I've been talking about source material going for the Shape Note, the Sacred Harp songs, or the more unusual ones. There's a couple of pop songs on here. There is a Mariah Carey song on here where you actually play piano on. And there is a song that you've kind of turned me on to, which I really love. I love the sentiment of it. I love everything about it, called My Old Friend, which is a Tim McGraw song. And tell me how you came about that and decided to do it.
Well, you know, in this process of kind of like stealing these folk song melodies and writing music around them and doing this, you know, at a certain point, you stop worrying too much about where it came from, and it's more just how it strikes you. And there's like a quality of those folk songs that's something kind of very ancient but also, and strange, but also very comforting and familiar. And, you know, once in a while, something from somewhere else will get stuck in my head, and as it did with the Mariah Carey song and with the Tim McGraw song. Like, some of these stuff, you know, I really radically changed them and I write a lot of music, whereas Tim McGraw, this song My Old Friend was just something I really loved, and it was on this country album that Thomas and I listened to obsessively on a tour, Live Like You Were Dying, and I just loved the melody, and it felt like just to take it out of that kind of country context and just make our own music from it.
Yeah, if that's not music you listen to all the time, it was a pretty big hit for him too. So
yeah, exactly. The album has some incredible, has this insane song called Drugs or Jesus. It's a very sort of intense and philosophical, like it's just a classic country record, but yeah, Tim McGraw.
Well, could you do that one?
Yeah, we'll play it right now.
That's great. Thank you.
my old friend, I recall times we had are hanging on my wall. I wouldn't trade them for gold. They laughed and they cried me, somehow sanctified me. They're woven in the stories I've told until again, my old friend. I apologize for the years that have passed since the last time you and I dusted off those memories. The running and the races, people and the places. There was always somewhere else I had to be. Time gets thin, my old friend. Don't know why. Don't know why. Don't know why. Don't know you, 'cause a few simple verses was the least that I could do to tell the world that you were here. The love and the laughter will live on long after all of the sadness and the tears. We'll meet again, my old friend. Goodbye.
Called My Old Friend. That's a new version of that from our guest today, Sam Amadon. I love the kind of reverse nature of that. You take a song that's, you know, much more produced on his album and you turn it into the folk original.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, you would have no idea whether he's heard your version, would you?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting.
Have to ask him.
Sam, Chris, thank you guys so much for
thank
coming
you.
In. Sam Amadon, my guest, and we shall be back in a moment here in the World Cafe.